I need you guys to pay attention because you're going to, we are very fortunate that we have an artist in residence, and I'm going to let Joe Domenico explain what he does. He's going to show you a presentation. What's really cool about this is that this is your next art project, okay? We're going to do something like what he does. We're not doing exactly what he does, but we can only hope. But he's going to show you this, and it's really cool. So I want everyone to pay attention, please, because he can explain this process a lot better than I can, and so you need to pay attention, all right? And then when the people come tomorrow or the next day who have been are missing today, I'm just going to hope and give you extra points if you will work with people who are missing out on this today. All right? Thank you.
Okay.
Yep.
How y'all doing? Okay. I'm going to try to make this worth your while here. First of all, my name is Joe DeMino. I'm in the IT department here. I'm going to give you one of the cards here. If you're interested in my art, the URL is on there. And give you a little example of some of my artwork. I've been in the district for 4 years now. And I'm the trainer. I'm the webmaster, and I'm a technician. I go out the field. So, I love technology, and I love art. I'm actually a writer as well. There's a lot of things. I do too many things. Yeah, I try to be. but the thing about... Who in here does artwork? Any of you? You?
What? You guys can all raise your hands. We've all been art in this class.
Now, is there anybody in here that wants to make a career out of it? No desire?
Actually, some people
who
are not here.
They want it, yeah. Okay, well, I'm just going to give you a little bit of my background. I, of course, in school, I did art as well. I was in class, and I actually just found all my high school artwork recently, and it just blew me away, the kind of stuff that I used to do. It was so linear and framed and all of that. I'm more abstract about what I do now with my things. But I get into phases where I do different kinds of things. For instance, this weekend I was commissioned to do something I call a window frame series. And what I do, in fact, I found a bunch of window frames over here on 10th Street. I grabbed them the other day. And what I do is I will take a window frame and I will break the glass out of it and put a canvas behind it, and then I will paint something inside of it. For instance, this right here. That's in Vernazza. That's Vernazza, Italy. They call it the poor man's Riviera. It's right across from the French Riviera. It's a hilltop city. I was there after 9/11/2001, probably the best place on earth to be at that point. And I had no flight home. I was my flight from Paris was canceled. I had no way home. All TWA had was a recording that said it isn't going to happen, and I had to figure out how I was going to get home, and I was in this town. I found out actually when I was in Venice. I was in the back of a boat. I mean, that's all you do when you're in Venice, Italy, is you go all around in a...
Were you there on vacation when this happened?
Yeah. I left the States on September 4th, 2001, went to Paris, was in Paris for 5 days, went to Venice, took a train to Venice, and that's when I found out. A guy in the back of a boat kept doing this and kept saying Nuevo York. And I was like, are you talking about there was a bombing in 93. I thought he wanted to talk about it. They had new evidence. And I didn't talk to anybody in the States the whole week. Whenever I went on vacation, I didn't talk to anybody. So I called my dad, and he was a native New Yorker. He was from Brooklyn. And he said the second tower just fell. And I had been, 4 years before, I stood in between the towers. I said, there's no possible way those towers, they're too big. Anyway, I detour. I finally made my way home. But the thing about Italy is the colors and everything. Everything you see there is completely art. It's oozing with art there. Their history and their culture quashes us. I mean, they had thousands of years of politics and art and everything. It just blows you away. In fact, when I went and saw the Sistine Chapel, I said when I came back there, I wasn't going to paint anymore. I couldn't get anywhere near it. So anyway, I deviate here a little bit, but essentially what I did, and I did it this weekend, I was hired to do a commission piece, and I take these window frames, I break the glass out, I put a canvas behind it, and a good portion of my artwork, because it's photo paint, is I adapt a piece of art from a photo that I've taken. So it's all original stuff. So I'll kind of get into this gallery here and show you some of these. This is another view here. That's in Venice. This is a this is just a scene in Italy here. This is actually, this cross here was just on a church in a town called Castel Parenzo. The original reason why I went to Italy the first time was I had a pen pal that I established contact with in high school. And we wrote for about 12 years. And I went over, and she had come over here about 5 years prior, and I went over there and I hung out with the family, and they owned a restaurant. And I finally figured out what good Italian food tasted like, so it was rough coming back. This piece right here was what I did this weekend. I had to do a replica of this. And this is, and these things are really big. So I have a friend that works at the FAA in Olathe, and he has about 4 of my window frames in his office. And people come by all the time. Well, a guy wanted this painting here, but he didn't want it to be quite so big. He's an art connoisseur, so he buys art, and he has it all over his house. So I made a smaller version for him. So that's one right there. Here's an old Kansas City one here. Here's L.A. with all of its beautiful smog. And then here's just a night shot. Here's New York City. And then if you travel along 435 North, you'll see the peppermint stacks going. And, those are always fun. So to just give you a little, I kind of flash forward with this section of what I do here. But I have all kinds of different things I do. I do watercolors. These are, again, Italian scenes. It seems like, and the last time I was there was in 2001. I always find images that compel me to paint from Italy. And this was back when they didn't have, well, digital cameras were expensive then. So I had an old manual camera. I think I took 35 rolls of film to 35 at about $2 a roll and came back and had to do developing, and it was like $200-$300. I could have got a digital camera and flash media at that point and been fine. But anyway, the clarity was good. So these are some of my watercolors.
What's that one of the three?
This one here?
Yeah.
Night driving. It's just a shot at night, kind of a blurry, going down the road. And then...
And Joe, can you tell me a little bit about the difference using, like, watercolors versus another medium that they
sure. use? You know, I never, and this is what I was going to flash back to. I started painting about when I was in my early 20s, when I was getting into college and kind of figuring out some things and started kind of opening up my mind to things. I had some friends, and we used to go in my, I was living in my folks' basement at the time going to school. I was going to UMKC. We'd just get down there and we'd tape up paper on the wall and just go crazy. Just throw some music and start painting, and it kind of started turning into a thing. And in the beginning, I used acrylics and watercolors. And I never really got involved with acrylics and oil paints. I never got involved with watercolors in the beginning. They're just too runny, they're crazy, they go all over the place, and I just wasn't really into it. And now it's my favorite medium. I love it. I love the way the colors blend together. And that's the thing. Any medium you get involved with takes on a life of its own. Watercolors, the beauty of that is that you kind of have reckless abandon. You let the colors kind of figure themselves out, and as they dry overnight, they may come together in a really cool melding, and you're kind of letting the paper take over at that point.
Do you guys know when we talk about the difference between watercolor and oil paints, what we're talking about? Because I want to make sure you understand. It's raising it if you know what watercolors are. Okay. So, some of you don't know what that is, okay? So maybe you could talk about the difference between watercolors and acrylics.
Sure.
So they...
Your watercolors, like you would get in like a kid's set, is just it's all water based. I mean, the whole thing, it's a very thin thing. You're not using a lot of paint. It's not gloppy. Now, when you're going to acrylics, it's like paint that you would put on the walls. It's a little bit thicker, but you have more control over it. Now, when you get involved with oil colors, you got something very thick, very permanent, And you really have to kind of be in control of that with the mixing of the colors together, the way the strokes work. I mean, if you look at Van Gogh only used oils. And he was so good with his colors. They punched out so well because he was so good at mixing. He was, the thing that people don't realize, everybody gets fixated on the whole ear thing, is that Van Gogh, the reason why the world is captivated by him is because he was a genius with color. He could get color and put them together in a way that would blow your subconscious open, because that's just the way he operated. He knew color. And that's the way a lot of these guys worked, a lot of the French Impressionists. The reason why it was so good is because they ushered in a new way of painting, but they also knew color so well, they can mix it together and get it out. And a lot of those guys used oil colors because it was so vibrant, it was thick, and it came to life. And that was the thing about Van Gogh. When you look at one of his pieces, you have the imagery, but you also have texture. I mean, you could follow the little stripes in each of his brush strokes, and you could get more out of that than anything else. It's like, great, you got a sunflower there, you know, or he has like a vase. But the way he did it was he mastered color and he had texture. You could feel it. It was something that was powerful. So those are kind of the differences. The other thing that I like to do, too, is I love the whole notion of kind of recycled, refurbed art with assemblages. Mixed medium. So, for instance, this one here, the top left, click. That was just an old camera I found at a thrift store and put it in the middle as kind of a, you know, your retina for your eyeball. And then over here, with this was kind of a post 9/11 thing. I would get a whole bunch of different sound cards and hard drives, and I would just start squeezing paint all over it, put it on wood. These are old used brushes, and that's an arm off of a sculpture that fell off, and I glued it on there and kind of did it that way. These are little toy soldiers, kind of my statement on war, so to speak. These are little floppy drives. I don't know if you guys are... I'm getting to a point now where I feel like I'm an old man when I talk about floppy drives, but they used to be the old plastic encasements, and when you break them open, there's these little floppy circles, and I had a whole bunch of them. This one here is an actual set of firecrackers. I did that. One of the very first shows I had was in the River Market, just outside of downtown Kansas City, and that was in one of my first shows, and I was there one night. Some guy came by and said, "Hey, I'm really interested in this piece here." And I said, "Well, I'll tell you what, if you're really interested in it, I'll take a high-res photo of it, and I'll blow it up, and I'll frame it under one thing. So you can, like, have kind of performance art. You could see what it is before and after." He declined, but it ended up, a good friend of mine that is a lawyer downtown wanted me to do it, and I did it. I took a small one and took one that I actually lit, and you have two of them together. So you have one that's unlit and one that's lit, and it ripped the canvas up pretty good. It was fun. Here's an old pair of scissors. This one always goes over pretty well here, the soldiers around the snake, or around the spider. These here are old paintballs. All the palettes that I have, I take all the old acrylic paint, and I scoop it up and I make it into a ball, and then I make little guys out of it. Kids like that quite a bit. And then here's like a little tech village, all kinds of little pieces of technology. I think that was an old reel-to-reel right there that I found and threw together. So this is always fun, too. And that's the thing they talk about with artwork. When you get on in the art world, they always talk about you can't mix things. You can't mix oils and acrylics and all this stuff. You can do whatever you want to do. There's no rules to what you want to create. There just isn't. If you see something that makes sense to you or doesn't make sense, you just go out and you do it. So those are some of the things here. Another facet of what I do is I do something called a photo paint travel project. And what I'm doing is I've been painting for the last 15 years, and I've amassed a lot of artwork. A lot of my artwork from the early years I give to people, and they traveled around the world and dropped off. So they'll take a piece of artwork, they'll fly to Cincinnati, and they'll go to a cafe, and they'll lay it down, and I got a note on the back that says, "You are a part of a project, a lifetime project, to get artwork all over the world, my artwork everywhere." I've had my work in, let's see, this one's a cool shot here. That's in a little village in Argentina. And the kids got a piece of artwork there. There's the Cincinnati Inquirer. There's a hotel in Omaha, Santa Fe here. Some spots around locally. That's Hawaii.
How did you get the
piece of that? Sarah Burroughs, who is the head of our educational foundation, went down there. In fact, that was in Peru. I think she's going to Vietnam next, and I gave her a piece. So it's getting all over the place. But yeah, these are people that just have various shots. This is in Iowa here. So people just drop it off, and it's kind of they get kind of woven into the story. Wherever they want to drop it off, they can do it. I tell them not to do it in like airports or anywhere where I'm going to be construed like terrorism or anything like that, because then I'll get in big trouble. But yeah, it's been kind of cool, and that kind of whips up a fervor. So that's kind of an aspect of what I do. I have shows around town. I'm a part of. Last week I was at an auction for a adoption agency, Downeyside. I'm in the Hayden's Loft downtown. This here is actually quite cool. I'm a part of a global initiative. From what I understand, this is the world's largest global art initiative. A fellow in Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania, went to an auto show and found a bunch of hubcaps. And they were going to throw them away. And he said, no, I'm going to make artwork out of them. So he bought them. And he put a notice on Craigslist and asked artists all over the world, I will ship you one of these if you make it into art, and then I'm going to make a gallery out of it. He has a three-story warehouse, and he displays all of this. Well, he sent me one, and this is what I did. And he's going to have only 200 pieces that will be profiled in the book and that will travel around the world, like New York galleries, all over, and mine is one of the pieces that's in there.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So where does he show his?
He shows his in, let me go back here. He has a warehouse, and let me see if he's, I did a special on him on, I worked for a station called Current TV. You may have heard about those two journalists that were in North Korea that Bill Clinton had to go get. That's who I worked for. In fact, I knew them, you know, somewhat before all of this happened, and they turned it into a big, huge thing.
Two women.
Yeah, Laura, and I used to get copies with Laura's email all the time, but they, but anyways, Current is owned by Al Gore, and it's kind of one of those things that if you all are interested in media at all, it's viewer-created stuff. Anybody in the world that wants to create something can create it, edit it, and upload it, and you could potentially get it shown on the air. Well, I did a story on him, on Current. And you can kind of see... Let's see. You kind of see his gallery...
You know, that's so weird because I have always thought, you know, how many times you see how cats wind up side of the road, and I've always thought, somebody should do something that I should do it, because I was like, somebody should come with those.
Well, and here he is. Here's his gallery. And, and that's the thing. It's massive, and it's all, everybody, I think he said every country in the world is involved, every state in the United States is represented. I mean, it's just massive. And he, all you have to do is pay the shipping to send it back, but... I can't hear anything. Maybe. Anyways, this kind of gets... I kind of go through what I do, and then he's talking about what he's doing. And he's a really, really cool guy. And he's just... He collects art, but this just kind of became a passion, and it's a big deal now. And it's really, and there's me in my studio just kind of putting it together and getting it finalized. And it's just a phone interview. I got him on there, and he was talking about how many people are involved and all of that. So this is kind of another thing I do, too. I really kind of have merged art and multimedia. I mean, we live in a pretty, you all live in a completely unique time where you don't have to have a TV station or a newspaper or anybody to promote you. You have the internet. You can do whatever you want to do. If you want to promote yourself, whether it's art or whatever you want to do, you can get out there, you can completely do it. Now, when I was getting into media and getting into art, it was a big deal. You had to have people representing you and doing this, that, and the other. It's like, I do all my stuff on my own, you know, and that's what you can do. You can do it. I mean, not that it's going to be lucrative, but when you're getting into art, you probably shouldn't expect that you're going to have a fancy regular paycheck on a regular basis, but I stay pretty busy with what I do. So let me go back here.
Do you still have that of you taking
the frame and taking
out the glass and putting it all together? Yes, I do. My students, last time you came in and talked to them, they thought that was awesome.
Yeah, let me find...
another person's trash to be your art.
Yes, it can. And it's... here it is. This is... I took, this is about 3 years ago. I start from the very beginning, and I go through the entire process of me making a photo frame. So I'm coming down, I'm grabbing the canvas, I'm going through day by day. So I get it, I'm going to sketch it, and the process will begin. And I go through each day. I think this was a... So this is a picture of downtown Kansas City. This is actually this painting. About a year after this, I gave it to one of my best friends who got married as a wedding gift and gave him the DVD so he could go through it. So this is kind of the process. I go through, I sketch it out, and then I just start going through day by day. I think this took about five days or so, and just filmed it. And this was my first video I ever put on Current. And there was a flood that happened down in Osawatomie about 2 years ago. And because I put my profile up, they called me up, a producer in San Francisco. It's that once-in-a-lifetime call, and he said, "You want to go cover a flood and get on TV?" I said, "Let's do it." I went down, and I had just like a camera like this here. And I just went down, I interviewed people, I took footage, I came back, I edited it down, sent it over, and the next day it was on. So a couple days later it was on. So this kind of goes through the process. I'm finishing up here. This is a bit long. This is my first one. 8 minutes is too long. I should have made it a little bit smaller. So this is the whole process. So I'm done with it, and now I'm treating it, and then I'm going to put some hangers on the back of it, and then it's going to be finished, and that's it. So that kind of gives you an idea of the process that goes in. And the thing about these window frames is it's a lot of work. It takes time, but it's pretty satisfying. It's pretty fun. And you can see it's a pretty large piece, but they've gone over pretty good. And then, of course, my final stamp right there. And that's it. It's finished. And that's the finished product.
Look at that. I love that.
So, yeah, they like the freeze. They dug it. And again, these are things that I just found these window frames in front of people's houses. In fact, I've been wanting to. I think I'm going to do it to this guy around the corner here. I'm going to take one by and show him what I'm doing with it. So it's kind of a cool thing.
Do you have anything down at the Heartbeating Cafe?
I did. I had a show there.
Oh, you did?
I did, yes. Let's see.
Because these guys are going to have, they don't know it yet, but they know it now. They're
going to
have their stuff up there.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. We're going to they get to choose a piece or two of this stuff to put up in 2 weeks. We're putting it all up for the rest of the month of December.
Excellent. Yeah, I've had two shows there. This was the first show a couple years ago that I had. They had some music and whatnot. It was cool. This is another thing back here. You can see back behind here. When I started really showing my work, what I would do is, the reason why it was photo paint was that I would take a painting and a photo and I would package them together. So you would see the adaptation of the photo, which is why it was called photo paint. So it's kind of evolved more than anything else into just painting. I mean, I have photography. One thing that I'm doing, and I have this at I have these at a antique shop in Belton. What I do is I make, and these go over really well, I have greeting cards. And I put photos on greeting cards, and they're $5 for five. And I have all of my photos on them. And this kind of gives you an idea. So to the Ruby Red Antique Stores is who has them. And they're just packed to five, wrapped up. And these, it's all original artwork. And so that kind of gives you, and this is the European set, which just, there's a lot. But you can just see how the colors work over there. It's crazy.
These guys have been taking pictures with digital cameras and to do that kind of photo thing.
Yeah.
That's what they decided to take on. They're going to have a sense of a couple different things they can do.
Sure.
Can you give them any advice about actually taking the picture? Because, you know, they're so used to snapping off pictures. And so am I with a digital camera.
Sure.
That sometimes we don't take into consideration the light, background objects, that kind of stuff.
Yeah. The main thing... With taking pictures, is be very cognizant of the fact that, yeah, when you have backlight going on, it's going to darken your shot. Sure, you can upload it to a program and fix it. But the biggest thing about photos, my personal philosophy of it, it's all about subject matter and making it interesting. I mean, whether you crop the top of the building and just get the top part with the cross, or whatever you're doing, birds right there in flight, like an action thing, it could be a quick thing, that's just, you know, ducks flying around, eating everything, you know, there's certain, like, birds all waiting there for food, and a cat with the sun coming out, I mean, you got your macro shots, the bee on the echinacea, and then, of course, this is always a grand slammer, these nature shots. Yeah.
But, oh, now see, like, oh, you can't stop on
the screen. Yeah, I can. I can.
Okay, if you guys are backed up, I want you guys to see that the moon.
Yeah.
Okay, the reason I want them to see that again is because of the point I'm trying to make with the, on that shot, okay. You know what's really absolutely cool about this shot is that this is not a censored picture. It would have been kind of contrite, in my opinion. I'm just, you know, like anybody else, okay? Because you all have your own opinions. But remember when I talk about balance and fluency and all that kind of stuff when you're creating your own pieces? I mean, this gives me the idea of movement, but also that it's kind of unattainable, and that it's right here in the top center. So it's like, oh, what a cool looking moon. I'll put it right in the center of my photo. Just like when I take a picture of someone, I think the best shots are sometimes is not when they're looking at me, but like, JD, if you were looking at the floor and you were doing something that you like to do, you know, let's say you were working on something and you were concentrating on it, and maybe I even said something and kind of looked up, but I've got a profile picture, so much more interesting than just the head on, you know, okay, here's a shot of you smiling. When you take pictures of objects, and that's what I think Joe does so well, you know, like his flowers and everything, it's not just the color, but it's the symmetry of the photos. I mean, look where he puts things in his pictures. Okay, I want you to think about that because you guys are going to be taking pictures. And I want you to think before you line everything up as center. I want you to think about where do you want to have this encroaching on the photo. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Is everybody really tired today? Or okay, normally you guys have this class, I can't keep them quiet. So you guys are all really low key today. Must have been from the break. Too much turkey.
Yeah, long break. And here's some other shots we're going to come up on of people, of interesting ways that you can take shots. There's one in here in particular that I always like. It's fun.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, I live out in Belton, and that's one of the redeeming things. The skies out there are crazy.
Wow.
That was downtown. Now, you know, you got this fella here playing the sax, people leaving Kauffman Stadium, guys cotton candy at Kauffman Stadium, that right there, and then people leaving Kauffman, and that one right, the one that was back here. That one right there. And I have another one like that. I went to a, I don't know where I was at, maybe it was a NASCAR thing or something, and I just took a shot because the stands are packed. I mean, you can't believe how many people go out there to watch this stuff. I got free tickets and went out, and I just got this shot, and all you see are people. Just like, there's nothing, like you see the green back there. This is a different shot. I should have used another one. I'm farther back, and all you see are all these heads. You know, and it's just, it's interesting. You've got tons of people. There's so many things that you can look at in that shot. And that there, kind of, that was kind of cool because you got the shadows. And that was in Phoenix. That's just a fellow playing for people that want to throw some money over. That's another European shot. That right there, the other thing too that's interesting, and it probably won't happen for you with a digital camera, is when I went to Italy, I had so many rolls of film, I accidentally put a roll that I developed already back in the camera. And it was accidental, and I came back, and the shots that came back were crazy. So this thing right here is a guy fishing, and behind it is a Frida Kahlo exhibit. Are you familiar with her, the artist?
Yeah.
She had an exhibit in Venice. And I took a whole bunch of shots, and I only got about 13 or 14 shots off before the curator came frantically running at me saying, stop, stop, you can't take pictures here. So what happened was, and I have a lot more, you can just see like the melding. So you'll see like this beach scene, and then you see like this pencil sketch of her. Like,
overlap.
Yeah, just overlap.
Is
so,
this in his picture? Is he looking at this?
Yeah, he's off the dock there. Yeah, and the top, and you can see the overlay there.
Yeah,
there's something there on the top, and then there's an overlay. So the frames then actually come concisely together, so you've got all of this overlapping, and the shots really came out interesting. I should have done it if I tried to myself. So that kind of stuff is cool, too. I mean, you could definitely give it a shot. If you have a manual camera and you want to have fun, you could definitely do it. Okay, so that's another thing that I've kind of branched out to. Artists get really weird about this. They don't want to meld modern technology with you know, the fact that people are buying canvases to put up in their homes. So what I'm proposing is getting a flash card, put my paintings on it, putting it into a digital photo frame, and you roll through and my artwork will flash up. You have like a virtual gallery. And you can have different themes. Like you could have like a Kansas City theme. You could have just watercolors. You could have window frames. Whatever you want to do. So that's kind of another thing that I have that I do as well. So when it comes up, you'll see it's just kind of a scrolling look at. Yeah. And you know, digital photo frames are really cheap now. And you know, getting cards are really cheap too, and that just kind of gives you an idea of what. The other cool thing too is, and this is always fun for me, is that I get pinged to do commission pieces, and you'll run into doing some really, I run into really cool things that people want done. That's the thing, for any of you that want to get involved with art, one thing I'm going to tell you up front, obviously I have a day job, and I'm passionate about it. I love working in the district, and I love technology. But the thing about art or writing or whatever you're going to do is you can be good. You could be really good and make a living off of it. But at the same time, it's one of those things that just ticks inside of you. You feel it, and you do it, and it doesn't matter whether you get paid or not. You know, it's just something you have to feel. You have to do it because you want to do it. It's like anything else, whether it's sports or anything else. You feel it, you want to do it, and you just do it. You know, and if things work out, whether it's karma, luck, or just perseverance, things can work. Things can work out. It's all about the passion you put into it, and people will pick that up. You know, and that's the thing you got to realize: when you all these bands and these artists that you see that are out doing their thing, they didn't make it overnight. Very rare. I mean, this American Idol concept is so absolutely fairy tale-ish.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't happen. People work for years and years and years. I guarantee you, if you give me your top five bands that you listen to that are on your iPod right now, I bet you $1 million, I'd go through each one of those, and I could add up all the years, and it would at least equal 50 years that it took combined for all five of those artists to get to where they're at today, and then to maintain it. I mean, it's just not easy. Artwork is one of those things, it's just, it's fun, but it's You know, it's just, you have to love it to do it, for sure.
Well, I've been telling them that, well, like my brother, you know, has written all his life, did not get his first success until he was 40.
Wow.
That's his first success as a writer. So you have to really like it to get up every morning at 4 a.m. to write for 2 hours and not go anywhere for 20 years.
Yep.
Being, ugh.
Yeah, it's not easy. But I'll get pinged to do commission stuff. My son's in karate, and they wanted a logo, and they wanted kind of a namesake, so I made him a little watercolor, and they put it into calendars, and people buy it, and they use it as a fundraiser. And that's the other thing that I'm really, really big about. I use my artwork as a big donation piece. I love to give back to causes and do things, and I'll donate pieces. If I can't give money to, say, the ACLU, I donate paintings. And they bid on it. And the thing about it is, if you do actually get into art, and this is what you want to do and you want to sell it, people go to art auctions because they want to buy art. They're into it. And it's a really good thing, and it's kind of a, you know, a two-way avenue. This was a piece, one of our former employees wanted me to come up with a logo, and I drew this bridge. And that's just, that background right there, is a part of this series that I call Kid Art. And this kind of, in the beginning, was kind of a frivolous, fun little thing. But what I do is, when I'm done painting, I'll take all the paint that I have and just put it on paper, and then I'll just smear it all on there and just make little things. Well, she saw one of these and really liked just like a piece of the background. So like, say right here, just this part right here, that little part, turned into... turned into that. And then I just took a Sharpie, and she loved it, and I actually blew it up and framed it for her, and she,
wow.
Yeah, she framed
it. Sharpie?
Yeah, and she loved it. And it's actually on our website, our external website. I turned it into,
And you guys don't work at the buildings in Kansas City. Didn't you say Cernerbot?
Yeah, so I'm a part of, there's a thing called Now Showing, the city of Kansas City. It's kind of a initiative to marry the arts with companies so that they can get original artwork to show. And companies that buy onto this let artists come in and have shows. And Cerner was one of the nicest ones. They had a separate facility that was state-of-the-art, and I got to hang my artwork, and they had a show, and it was pretty cool. Here, I'll show you how this panned out here. So many little, maybe this is it. There it is. So, the original idea was that I was going to turn, they wanted to have pillars for each one of these. So you got counseling, professional development, discipline, hearings, and care. So that kind of turned into that. But this was another one that was kind of cool. Took a door I found. A good friend of mine really likes my stuff, and he commissions me to do a lot of stuff. That's a door that I found in someone's trash, and I just turned it into art, and they had to get a special beveled way to hang that up, but that's an actual full-size door, and the handles on it and everything, and that was fun. So yeah, I'll get tapped. My mom has one of these lawn orbs and wanted me to turn it into something, and that's kind of the mothership dropping a bunch of aliens down. So, a good friend of mine is a musician down in Nashville, John Yeager, and he wanted me, I have this thing where I morph things. So he wanted me to morph him, and he made it to a video. I actually made a video for him, and here, I'll show you what I'm talking about here. So what I do here is, you can see how the photo goes in to the painting, and I do a lot of those. So I have a program that will morph those together. Well, he was into it, so I did a video for him, And this was before his album was released, and I used one of his tracks. Okay, we can't access it. But anyways, it's kind of me mixing this up, and you see his photo morph into the painting. So there's a lot of interesting things. This is a chair that I did a couple years back for my mother-in-law. So there's all kinds of things that, you know, you can do with art. I mean, everything's a canvas. Whatever you want to make into art, you got free reign. That's the biggest thing about that you have to realize when you get into art. There's a Beatles lyric that says, everything that has been done before. Everything you do, and it's true, everything has been done, but you hope maybe you find a niche, maybe something's original. But, you know, that's kind of my philosophy behind this stuff. Just do original stuff.
Now, where do they, if I have some kids decide that they want to use something, create their own, whether it's from a picture frame or whatever, but create their own frame, where do you get the canvas? Where do you buy the canvas?
You can even get canvas at Walmart.
Really?
Yeah, you can. They have
a. And then just a staple gun to put it on the back?
What I do. I used to, and this is what I used to do. There's two or three ways I would do it. I used to go to the hardware store and I'd make cut wood. And then I would nail it onto it, and then I'd get gesso, which is a coating that you put on the top of unfinished canvas or wood so that the paint kind of bounces off of it. If you do untreated wood, it'll soak into the wood. I would do that. At one point, I would cut my canvas, but the canvas, if that painting falls, something falls through it, it's gone. So now I use an actual canvas that's in a wood frame. I put it on the back and I screw it in. That's how I do it now. But they do sell canvas boards. But the thing about these windows is that they're all weird, odd sizes. So you have to be very careful about what you get. I lucked out on this last group of windows. The windows end to end are 24 by 24, and I found canvases. I think it was like a 24 by 20, and it worked because of the wood, and it fit in there perfect. So there's all kinds of different ways that you can do it.
Well, I always see people who are like remodeling and throwing out stuff all over the place.
I don't know if this was because of me, but someone just called me the other day and said some guy locally is putting paintings in window frames. Actually, it probably was because of me. A guy is putting window frame paintings together and selling them for $300 a pop. And I was on, now it's coming to me, I was on a local morning show 2 years ago promoting one of the one that I just showed you.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and I was doing a promotion for my travel project, but on my easel behind me, they had a picture of one of my paintings, and that was probably it. It was this here. Let me see if I can pull it out. So maybe that guy will send me a commission check at some point.
Yeah.
So this was, we don't have any sound. But anyways, they'll show it here in a second. But this was just an interview on a local show a couple years ago. And they'll pan over here in a minute and you'll see it. So maybe that guy got inspired.
That doesn't even look like TV.
Yeah. A lot of stuff has happened in 2 years. So this is a little bit of what I'll do after shows is I'll throw together videos of what the display looks like so people can't come out. And now with Facebook, I have a Facebook group. I can just post it up there so people want to see if they can. I've had some articles written about as an alumni at UMKC. This got a lot of good feedback. They did a story on me doing my artwork, my travel artwork, and I got a bunch of people that contacted me and wanted to be a part of the process. So, so do you guys have any ideas of what you want to do for your project?
I want to paint
things. I can't talk to
That's a great idea.
I can talk to
That's awesome.
At 2 o'clock. So I'll make work and you get a number.
Do you have any?
Okay, thanks, Lisa.
Do you have any that you have right now that you're going to paint? I wonder if our maintenance crew has some.
Has what?
He talks about painting these drop ceilings. That's an awesome idea. In fact, one of my ideas too, this is my wife's idea, is to get rice paper and make this in like for blinds for windows and paint watercolors on them. So when they go down, it's painting. When you go up, so however you want to do it. But that's awesome. It's completely functional, fun stuff.
We talked about that before with Pat, because at one point in our class, like 5 years ago, I was like, what if they do, like, they could paint, like, an imitation, you know, like Jackson Pollock or, you know, whatever,
yeah.
You know, on these things would be really cool, but it never came to fruition, so I don't know.
I mean, you know, and that's the thing, too. We had a bunch of, in the IT department, we got a bunch of, we get boxes all the time with mice and whatever in it, and we gave it to a bunch of kids in care, and they made stuff out of it, like little robots and stuff. So we had the little boxes, and they just added to it and painted on it. So there's all kinds of stuff you can do. In fact, my dentist has a covering over their lights that has, like, a beach scene or whatever. So you can look up and see it. It's kind of a makeshift Sistine Chapel, you know, if you really wanted to kind of branch out and do it. Yeah, so, but that's kind of it. Let me make sure I didn't miss anything here.
And so here, where did they go? I'm going to put your website.
Yeah, on that card I gave you,
uh-huh.
It says,
oh, it's
yeah, it's on the very front. It's www.joedomino.com if you want to take a look. And, yeah, and, you know, here's my site. I got an active blog I keep going where I profile what's going on.
Now, would you, how do you feel about, I don't want to set this up, that's something that, you know, if I don't want you to be bothered consistently, but if they have questions about some of their art
sure.
for this project, can they contact you?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. If you want to, you can either email me. My email address is on the site. It's on this card here. Yeah, just drop me a line, let me know. I mean, this is, not only do I do artwork on a consistent basis, I have a couple kids that are in school that have to do stuff all the time, and we're always trying to figure out ways of making whatever they need to make creatively. So, yeah, absolutely.
Everything. This is going to be so much fun. We'll be talking more after lunch about what we're going to do. Because you're going to have some choices here. For this project, but there's just so many different things you guys can do.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing, real quick here. The cool thing about this is a mix right here. Yeah, that's a that's acrylic in the background. That's a thing you can keep in mind too. What I was talking about with Van Gogh. If you really want something textured, you really want something to punch out, to really, like this one right here, you got the colors, but at the same time, it's like the blue background is acrylic, and then the green and brown below, it's really thick. It really comes out, and that's the kind of thing that you can do. That's acrylic in the background, and this is really thick, oils on top. Same thing with all of these here.
What is that?
This here?
Yeah.
It's a shriveled tomato.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was one of my first gallery show that I had, the Crossroads. That was one that I had a photo paint together on. So, yeah, these are kind of some. But oil color is really something that it's oil. You got to be careful. Oil colors can get crazy messy. They'll stain everything you touch. It takes a long time to dry. But I tell you what, when they dry and you got to finish oil color, it's good times, definitely. So. That's that. The last thing I was going to show you here, the cool thing about self-promotion is whenever anybody buys my stuff or they're really interested, this is a DVD I've thrown together. And I mix some music on it, and it kind of goes through and shows each gallery and everything. This is kind of some stuff that's on location some shows. That was at a library that I had. That's how I would tailor my photo and paint. That was a commission piece that I did at one point. But it kind of goes through, and I got music. That's the Blue Koi in Midtown.
Yeah.
And that was kind of a studio shot there. That was at a law firm. That's what's on the card that you got there. And just some on-location shots, things around. It's the travel thing. But again, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing about these, about whatever you want to do with your artwork. Like I mentioned before, the key to this is whatever you guys do from here on out, you are your, and that's at Cerner, you hold the key to being your own PR machine. You don't have to have anybody do it for you. So, that's, yeah. So that is that.
Thank you,
yeah, you bet.
Will they be calling you because
okay.
I'm sure I'll be calling you.
Oh, sure.
Okay.
All right.
Appreciate it.
See you later. Bye-bye.